It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Here they come on 3rd and 5. Wilson, boy, somehow escapes. He's going to run for it. Plenty of green grass. Wilson stays in bounds. He's still going. And he's in. Touchdown. Zach Wilson pulling a magic trick.
Down the middle, he's got it. Elijah Moore. The 20. The 10. The 5. Touchdown. Tune is buried. That was Sauce Gardner coming in hot. Garrett Wilson. Here he goes. Goodbye. And hello, end zone.
Van Dyke swarmed, swallowed, and sacked. Guess who? You only got one guess. Jermaine Johnson.
Here's Breece Hall looking for history. Hall with his 24th straight game with a rushing touchdown into the NCAA record books.
Listen. Thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time to recap day number 6 of New York Jets training camp with our friend who covers the Jets for NJ.com, Mr. Andy Vasquez. Andy, what's going on, man? It was pretty humid out there today, huh?
Yeah, it said at the start of practice it was only 78, and that seemed like a vicious lie to me. It felt way hotter out there. And I think, you know, some of the players were feeling it, but yeah, the sun was hot. I think the fans out there will agree. There was a lot of sweating going on, but first practice for the fans to see in pads, which was cool. And I thought it was a pretty entertaining day overall, which is always good at you know, this early stage of training camp. The Jets just finished their 6th training camp practice.
Carl Lawson is a player that most Jets fans were really banking on being the difference maker at edge rusher last year, and then he got hurt during those joint practices with Green Bay, and he missed the whole year, and it was like the air came out of a tire. Everybody was just so sad about it for obvious reasons, because we all expected Carl Lawson to be that missing piece that they haven't had in the longest time. Carl Lawson is back now. Knock on wood, so far he stayed healthy, and he is showing off in training camp exactly why people thought he was going to be that difference maker last year.
Yeah, it looks a lot like it did last year in training camp, except for just not quite as many reps. I think the Jets smartly are going to keep a very close eye on his reps throughout training camp. I'd say he's playing a little less than half of the defensive reps right now with the first team. And yeah, he looks good. I mean, he's definitely, once again, giving whoever is at tackle a difficult time, whatever side he lines up on. He does not look really – you don't see hesitation. You don't see like – this does not look like a guy who's coming off of that kind of an injury. Now, and that's a good thing, obviously, because they're in pads and he's still finding a way to make an impact. I think he had a sack today, maybe 2. I can't remember for sure. I don't have my notebook in front of me. But, you know, I asked Zach Wilson about, like, is he a guy you need to pay attention to? Do you agree with, like, they look the same as before? And he was like, well, I don't have to pay that much attention to him because, he can't hit me right now. But, like, he did say that he's spending a little bit too much time in the backfield with him. So, I mean, that gives you an idea of where Carl's at. He looks like he hasn't really missed much. I think if, you know, Carl Lawson said at the first week of training camp that he's not looking to get back to where he was, he wants to be better. I think in his mind, he's probably feeling like he's better than he was before, but obviously we're going to have to see how it all plays out when he gets on the field.
Carl Lawson, one of the stars of training camp today. Two other guys that have been the star of training camp several times and continued that trend today, Sauce Gardner and Elijah Moore.
Yeah, Elijah Moore, for anybody who was there, they know the play I'm about to talk about. Made a great catch early in team drills from Joe Flacco. I think he was covered pretty tightly. I don't remember who it was by. Flacco kind of threw him open, and it was not like a lofted ball. It had some velocity behind it, and Moore kind of cut off his route, like looked back at the ball while it was in the air, kind of cut it off and reached out and snagged it with his hand, and people went nuts for that. And Moore ended up, you know, behind the end zone. I don't think it was a touchdown. I think he was, you know, would have been tackled or whatever, but he ended up in the end zone giving high fives to fans, and it was well-deserved. I mean, it was a hell of a play, and just the fact – He's been involved seemingly every practice. I think he had a 100-yard or a 70-yard catch yesterday where Zach Wilson drew the defense offside. He just is continuing kind of what we saw when he was on the field at the end of last season, when he had that great stretch of games where he picked up almost all of his yards for the season. So I think obviously it's very early, but a step in the right direction. And then, yeah, DJ Reed, I'm sorry, he looked great too, but you mentioned Sauce Gardner. There was this cool period where they had the offense backed up against the goal line. And it's like, if you get a first down, you come off the field if you're the offense, because the goal is just to get out of the situation. So Zach Wilson found, I think, Conklin for a first down and Berrios on his first two snaps in that period, and was off to a good start. I think Breece Hall might have had a run for a first down after that. And then later in the drill, you start to see the defense adjust, and Sauce Gardner was a huge part of this in this key defensive situation. On one play, there was a corner blitz. He got to Wilson. I'm not sure, like, the way we were standing on the sideline, I'm sure those of you who were there, who were in the stands, could see what happened, but we couldn't really see it, or I couldn't. He either sacked him, I think the ref signaled that, but I'm not sure, or he forced him to dirt it, and you know, at the feet of an offensive player, which that's a huge play from Sauce. And then on one of the last plays of that drill, or maybe the last play, he was out covering Elijah Moore, and he had him locked down, and Wilson really had nowhere to put the ball, ended up putting it a little high and outside, and after that play, Sauce kind of stared at Moore and shook his head and looked back at the quarterback and shook his head. And the crowd liked that, even though, you know, they didn't like seeing Wilson not able to get the completion. But, I mean, the smart fans there were clapping for that one, because that was a hell of a play by Sauce. And we've seen that Moore can be effective in this league. It's not just theory. It's fact. And the fact that he can hang with him, a guy who could be challenging for a guy who's a corner who's that big. I mean, Sauce is big, man, in person. I've heard so many fans commenting about that over our shoulders the last few days, how big this guy is. For him to be able to hang with a receiver who's that much smaller than him and that, you know, shifty and elusive is a really good sign, I think.
You touched on DJ Reed, and it sounds like he had a pretty good practice in his own right.
Yeah, he continues to impress. I mean, even before camp, guys, the young guys and veterans would kind of talk about the energy that he brings. Young guys would talk about how valuable of a resource he is, both as an example and as, you know, a guy who can kind of tell them what to do on the field and off the field. So he already had that, but he's played really well. Another thing, as big as Sauce is, DJ Reed is like 5'8". I mean, and I think it might be kind of a generous 5'8". But today he's covering Corey Davis and giving him a hard time. I mean, in the drill at the end of practice, today the offense was able to move the ball. They got it down there, and they weren't able to punch it in. I'm sure we'll talk more about that later. But Reed was all over Corey Davis on the third and goal from the 5, and really – I think to the point where the offense might have liked to have seen a pass interference, but from what I could see, it was really good coverage, and it's impressive. And I asked Salah about that after the practice. How does this guy who's at this size cover, you know, a guy who's so much bigger than him? And he's like, DJ has a wingspan of a guy who's like 6'1", and then he's got all the power and stability that comes with being like low to the ground. So it allows him to you know, strength-wise, be able to go up against a guy like Corey Davis, who is 6'3", and also use his arms to make life tough on him. So I thought that was interesting, and I think Jets fans should be pretty excited about this cornerback group. You know, Sauce is going to make some mistakes as a rookie. That's just how it goes, but I think it's going to look a lot different this year at a position where it needed to look a lot different.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Andy, as you and I have joked via text message and even on the show a couple of times, fans were clamoring for Denzel Mims updates all of training camp last year, and I'm sure that's continued this year when people ask you what's going on at training camp. Today, you've got something positive to tell them.
Yeah, so I'm going to admit it. I was looking down at my phone, and I didn't see this one, but apparently he caught a touchdown pass coming across the middle, made the play. I'm not sure if it was like a consensus touchdown pass because it wasn't a huge roar or anything. You know, maybe the defense thought he was down or something, but Mims has had – it's been inconsistent, but the good thing is that you haven't seen Mims, like, making mistakes or dropping balls. He might have had a drop or whatever, but just one that I can remember. And other – he has no penalties, no pre-snap gaffes. He seems to be, you know, engaged and locked in. And when he makes an impact, it's usually with a big play, with a nice catch, or like the one he had today – you know, able to get open in the middle of the field and use his physical gifts to his advantage. So, he's not getting a ton of action, or I'm not sure if he's gotten any action yet with Zach Wilson, which might be something to read into in terms of where he's kind of sitting on the depth chart right now. But I think this guy's going to have a massive opportunity in the preseason to kind of solidify a spot or maybe a role in this offense. And that's going to be really interesting to watch, because I think if he does it in the preseason and makes plays when he gets the opportunity, it would be hard to kind of deny him given what he brings to the table.
Zach Wilson, improvement from yesterday where he really struggled in the first padded practice, seemed to forge a nice connection with CJ Uzomah.
Yeah, he definitely, during that drill at the end of practice, I mean, this is a sign of progress just from yesterday. They went 3 and out twice yesterday. This time it was an 11-play drive that got them down to the 5. Now, room for improvement because they couldn't cash it in. And we've seen him and the offense struggle at times a little bit in the red zone and at other times look good. It's been up and down. But today was a struggle in the red zone. They got to the 5 for 3rd and goal and couldn't get past there. But the reason they got down there is because he connected with CJ twice for pretty good gains. And I also think they did some nice things in the run game. It's still not exactly the real run game because they're not, you know, bringing guys down to the ground with tackles, but the run game is a hell of a lot more realistic now than it was when they weren't practicing in pads. And there was room to run. I know Zonovan, Bam Knight got a couple carries during that series. And then I know Breece Hall had a couple as well, and including a big one for a first down after the offensive line opened up a hole. So that was definitely good for the offense. Not so good were those last couple of plays. I'm not sure exactly on the Corey Davis play if Wilson got locked in on him. There wasn't anywhere better to go. Again, we were kind of at a tough angle, so it was hard to see. And then with the last play of practice, they have 4th and goal from the 5. Wilson ended up getting pressure, rolling out, and did what you can't do there, which is take a sack. Jabari Zuniga, there's a name from the past that you may not thought you would hear much of. He had that play at the end of practice to end practice. He didn't touch him. They blew the play dead and the practice over at that point. But, you know, Wilson said that he feels like he needs you to step up and get the ball to the tight end there. He couldn't remember which tight end was on that side of the field, but he said, I need to step up, throw that ball, and hopefully he falls into the end zone with it. I just need to trust it. And he said that he was looking forward to watching it on film and learning from it. So, what I like about Wilson in this training camp, and I think is an improvement over last year, is that he's doing a much better job of spreading the ball around during team drills. Everything before the snap looks crisper and cleaner. There haven't really been any pre-snap penalties. Everything after the snap, it kind of depends on the day. But it's, you know, when people make these broad judgments off of what we're seeing in training camp, like, you don't know, there's so much we don't know about, like, what he might be trying to do in that drill or what the defense is doing, or if they're throwing him a look over and over again that he's having a hard time with, yeah, he's going to struggle in that drill. And it doesn't mean he sucks. And when he has a really good session against a look that maybe he's a little bit more comfortable with, it doesn't mean he's going to be a 5-time Pro Bowler. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get this whole consternation about what we're seeing now translating to the regular season. We're not seeing anything that is so bad that it's like a huge red flag. He's having some off periods. He's got to clean up some of the same stuff he had to clean up last year. But, you know, Salas today was asked about, you know, is Zach Wilson where you want him to be at this stage in camp? And he wouldn't answer it. He just kind of went into this whole thing about how we'd like everybody to look like a Hall of Famer, but I will tell you that Zach Wilson is better than he was a year ago. And he is, and he should be. But it would be alarming if he wasn't. But in terms of what it all means going forward, unfortunately, people don't like to hear this, but it's the truth. We're not going to know until the games count, for the most part, unless something, unless there's something really alarming or hard to believe that we see over the next few weeks. So I would just like everybody relax, just because Zach Wilson throws a bad pass. He does that. All quarterbacks do that. Doesn't mean that anyone is saying he's going to suck or that he's going to suck. It just means he threw a bad pass. And if he leads a great touchdown drive, it doesn't mean he's going to be the best quarterback in the NFL for the next 15 years. It just means he's led a great touchdown drive in training camp. And that's what he should be doing. He should be making mistakes and he should be having successes in training camp. So everybody chill.
We've got injury news involving George Fant, Tevin Coleman, Michael Carter, and Vinny Curry. What's going on, Andy?
Yeah, we'll start with Tevin Coleman. He was activated from the active NFI list. He was dealing with an undisclosed illness. I did not see him in team drills in practice today, but he was eligible to practice on Tuesday in the sixth training camp practice. So I would expect him to work in as the practice goes on. And by the way, that leaves Jeremy Ruckert, the rookie tight end, is the only guy right now who is not on the active roster. He's dealing with that foot issue that cropped up during the pre-draft process. Robert Saleh said on Saturday that he seemed to hint that Ruckert could be back this week. I did see Ruckert either yesterday or today. I think it was yesterday, working out on a side field and it looked like he was working pretty extensively, so I think that's probably a promising sign. George Fant got into team drills today at left tackle for the first time. I think it was only like two reps. And otherwise, he was working off to the side like he has been, like doing contact work. Like the first two padded practices, he was working with some members of the training staff, and they've got like, little pads that they're kind of hitting him with, and he's pushing back obviously in his pads. So I think you'll see that start to ramp up throughout the course of the week as Fant comes back from that off season or the late season knee injury and the surgery, the knee scope early in the off season. And then the two guys who the Jets kind of dealing with their first injury issues of this camp. Michael Carter did not participate in team drills today because of what Robert Saleh classified as a minor ankle injury that he suffered on Monday. Carter was, I'm not sure if he was in individual drills. I didn't see that, him doing it or not, but he definitely wasn't in team drills. And Saleh said that they expect him to be back at full go later this week. And then Vinny Curry is dealing with what Saleh called a minor hamstring injury. He's also expected to be back later this week, but I didn't see him out there at all, at least at the end of practice. So, read into that what you will, but that's where the injury situation is now. Not a bad place to be after six practices.
Andy, after practice, we heard from Coach Robert Saleh, Zach Wilson, Jacob Martin, and Bryce Hall. What did they have to say?
Yeah, I touched on what Saleh said about Wilson already and what he said about DJ Reed, and beyond that it was pretty standard training camp stuff, so I'll probably stay away from him here. Wilson was he was asked about how he deals with the scrutiny, something that Robert Saleh has clearly said he doesn't like, that his young quarterback is under such a microscope during these training camp practices, because I mean, that's our job. We watch every throw he makes and pass it along. That just kind of comes with the territory. So he talked about that before, and Wilson was asked like how he deals with that scrutiny, and he started out by joking like, "Oh, you guys write things about me? I never see it. The only scrutiny I get is from Joe Flacco." But he actually admitted something I thought was pretty interesting later, that during the season he doesn't have any social media apps on his phone. So when you see like him tweeting, he admitted he has a team, that kind of helps him with his social media stuff. So anytime during the season you're seeing a post from him, it's probably going through his team. Like if he wants something posted, maybe text them. I don't know exactly how it works. But I thought that was interesting and probably smart, and probably some advice some of his other teammates can would be wise to take. I'll leave it at that. But I just thought that was interesting, and I'm sure everything doesn't miss him, but that's a good way to kind of limit what's getting to you, right? And I think it's smart. Wilson was asked about kind of comparing himself to last year. He didn't want to compare himself. He just basically said that every day is an opportunity to get better. Every play is an opportunity to get better. That's how he evaluates himself on every play, not like, how did this practice go? How am I doing this training camp? He's just trying to focus on one play at a time and get better. And while that does sound cliche, and as a writer, we don't like that, it's not wrong. I mean, that's how you get better, is you focus on what you have control of in the moment and get better at it. And then a lot of that over and over again ultimately kind of changes the final product. So I thought all that was like good stuff from Wilson. With Martin, he talked about how in Texas he was viewed as a situational edge rusher and how he didn't like that. He views himself as a complete football player. He made it very clear he didn't like being called a situational edge rusher. So if you see him in public, don't call him that. He's a very large man. But he talked about how grateful he is to kind of get this opportunity to prove it with the Jets. And he also talked about like how being in this system, like with the defensive line rotating all the time, how that leads to a bunch of he thinks it just like gives them an overall advantage over opposing offensive lines, because they're able to go so hard at these lines and that over the course of a game, it pays dividends. So I thought that was interesting too. And then Bryce Hall kind of talked about the whole cornerback competition between him and Sauce. And he admitted that like, he feels like they're getting each other better, but he also didn't want to like really get into that. He says he's not focused on that. He's not focused on things that are out of his control. If they had brought in Sauce or not, his goal was going to be to get as good as he could in the coming weeks and the coming months and work every day on getting better. And that was kind of the main message from his stuff, that all the other stuff is outside noise, and that his goal right now is just controlling what he can control and becoming a better football player. And he said that, you know, the experience from last year makes things feel a lot different going into training camp, and especially going into training camp for the second straight season and the same defense also has been helpful to him. So, he said it's not something he thinks about with Sauce being such a high pick and what that means for his chances of reclaiming his starting job, which obviously is the right thing to say. We'll obviously see how it all works out, but it's probably partially him accepting the reality of the situation and knowing that it's going to be pretty hard for him to hold on to that job, considering where the Jets picked Gardner.
Andy Vasquez covering the Jets for NJ.com. Thanks so much for coming on and wrapping up day number 6 of New York Jets training camp with me. Really appreciate it. For people that want to read your recap of practice, it's up right now at nj.com/Jets. And that's where you can find all of Andy's great work. And I know you've got plenty coming down the pike, not just training camp reviews. You're going to be doing a lot of great content over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into it all exactly, because I'm still working on some of this stuff and I don't want to tip it off, but definitely we'll have a couple features coming about some names that you know and names that you don't. So that's a good teaser. Stay tuned for that. I think one will be coming later this week that a lot of people might be interested in, I hope. And I'm going to be trying to do stuff like that, not just through camp, but through the entire season, kind of trying to tell these guys stories or explain, get to the bottom of like why things work the way they do. So definitely keep coming back to NJ.com and checking that out. And also you can find me on social media at Andy_Vasquez on Twitter and by Andy Vasquez, all one deal at Instagram.
Make sure you follow Andy on Instagram and Twitter. Read his work over at NJ.com. And check out everything we're doing at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. The Thunder from Down Under, Luke Grant, has got some fantastic All-22 breakdowns on our channel. Plus, he's going to be doing some daily updates as well to get you ready for each day of training camp. Subscribe if you haven't already. YouTube.com/PlayLikeAJet. The Play Like a Jet store is available over at TeePublic. That's TeePublic.com. We've got the John Franklin Myers, Quinnen Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Zach Says Go Long shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt, caps, mugs, hoodies, it's all there. TeePublic.com. That's TeePublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.